Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ.
Today our scripture reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, which says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." This is a wonderful verse. It has really two parts to it. It talks about giving thanks to God. And of course, we ought to always thank Him for our salvation. We always thank Him for the good blessings that He's given to us. The fact that we have a shirt on our back, the fact that we have food, the fact that we have a good lodging here in North America. So many people in the world don't have these things. But also the fact that we ought to just thank Him for the way that He watches over us each day and protects us and helps us. There's so many blessings that we are recipients of that we even take for granted. The second part of the verse talks about praying always for you. Paul here is praying for the people at Colossae, and we ought to pray for one another and be encouraging to one another and bless one each other. And it's always a privilege when you run into someone and you say, "Well, I'm going to pray for you," you ought to pray for them right then. That's what I do, because I don't like telling lies. Sometimes I tell people I'm going to pray for them, and then I don't do that. I believe that's a sin. So I think we ought to pray often and all.
Welcome to Moments in Missions, where we shine a light on the courageous souls who have dedicated their lives to selfless service in foreign lands. These individuals embody the true spirit of compassion and sacrifice as they spread hope and love to those in need around the world. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." This biblical commandment reminds us of the profound impact we can make by supporting and caring for missionaries who heed this call and venture into the unknown to bring the message of faith and love to the distant shores. Join us as we delve into the unique experiences of these modern-day heroes, exploring the challenges of their faith and lives as they touch others and witness the miracles of their journey. Today, let us celebrate their unwavering dedication and commitment to making the world a better place, one soul at a time. Stay tuned to Moments in Missions as we pray this broadcast will touch your heart and ignite the spirit. I'm Dennis Campbell, the president of Mission Go. We invite you to join us on this journey as we honor those who serve with love, faith, and compassion. If you or anyone in your family are interested in international missions, please visit our website at www.missiongo.org or call us at 905-684-1401 in Canada or 716-685-048 in the United States. The Quiet Echoes of Faith, a Thanksgiving story nestled in the heart of Costa Rica. The central Larosi Valley is a picturesque region characterized by verdant hills, flowing rivers, and a tranquil pace of life. However, beyond its breathtaking landscapes lies a community of devoted individuals who often face the challenges of isolation from the larger Christian world. This Thanksgiving season, we delve into the lives of the villagers in this hidden gem, exploring their deep-seated faith, the struggles of living in silence, and the crucial support they need from Christians in North America to help nurture their spiritual growth. The simplicity of life. In the Orosi Valley, life is simple yet rich with tradition. The villagers rise with the sun, tending to their small farms and livestock, their hands weathered, but strong among them is Rosa, a warm-hearted woman whose days revolve around caring for her family and nurturing her garden. While the valleys are filled with stunning beauty, there is a palpable silence when it comes to spiritual nourishment. The nearby towns boast churches and ministries, but the people in the more remote areas feel cut off from consistent biblical teaching. Rosa often reminisces about her childhood when visiting groups would bring stories of faith and encouragement. However, as time passed, those visits dwindled, leaving the villagers to rely on their own understanding of the scriptures. As Thanksgiving approached, she yearned for connection and support, knowing that together they could grow in faith and understanding. The solitude of faith in a nearby community, Pastor Miguel serves a small congregation that meets in a humble structure made of wood and tin. He is a man of unwavering faith, devoted to teaching the Word of God to his flock. However, the lack of resources and training has made it challenging for him to provide the depth of biblical teaching that his congregation desperately needs. As the days grew shorter and the air turned crisp with the coming holiday, Pastor Miguel reflected on the importance of connection. He prayed for the villagers of Orosi Valley, longing for the day when they could receive the teachings and resources that would empower their faith journeys. His heart echoed the sentiments of many, an urgent desire for support from Christians in North America who could help bridge the gap between isolation and spiritual growth. Call for connection in North America. A small church community led by Pastor Emily began to explore ways to support their brothers and sisters in the Orosi Valley. With Thanksgiving approaching, they felt compelled to reach out, recognizing that their blessings were meant to be shared. They organized a fundraiser to gather resources, including Bibles, educational materials, and funds for pastoral training programs. Pastor Emily shared stories of Rosa and Pastor Miguel with her congregation, painting a vivid picture of life in the Orosi Valley. As her words resonated, members of the church were moved to contribute, understanding that their support could change lives and strengthen faith in a community yearning for connection. They began to pray for the families in the valley, envisioning a future where the silence would be broken by the teachings of Christ. Conclusion: a Thanksgiving of hope and partnership. As Thanksgiving approached, the people of the Orosi Valley gathered for a feast, sharing what little they had with one another. They expressed gratitude for their families, their land, and the faith that sustained them. Unbeknownst to them, a group of believers miles away was preparing to extend their hands in support. This Thanksgiving, as we reflect on our blessings, let us remember the villagers of the central Orosi Valley, who embody a simple yet profound faith amid isolation. Together, through the partnership of goers and senders, we can break the silence of their spiritual journey and offer a lifeline to those yearning for biblical teaching. Let us embrace this opportunity to connect, cultivate compassion, and ensure that the echoes of faith reach every corner of the world. This month, we would like to make available a booklet about The Man on the Middle Cross, written by Alistair Begg. The booklet introduces three people who had their lives changed when they met Jesus. Each was given hope, restoration, and a way back to God, the woman at the well, the paralyzed man, and the thief on the cross. With characteristic clarity, Alistair Begg explains how this offer is open to all who come to Jesus, the man on the middle cross. Alistair Begg is the Bible teacher at Truth for Life, a worldwide radio and digital ministry. He served as senior pastor at Parkside Church in Cleveland, Ohio for over 40 years. To order this booklet, write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Post Office Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, zip code L2R7A7, or in the United States, write to Post Office Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.
Today's message is from the Honorable Ernest C. Manning, and it's entitled, Things Which Must Surely Come to Pass. Printed copies are available upon request.
We continue now our series of talks entitled, Things Which Must Shortly Come to Pass. Your letters indicate a widespread interest in what the future holds in store. I hope these talks will be helpful as you try to anticipate the ultimate results of the trends and conditions developing in society today. Don't forget the wise observation of the Apostle Peter, recorded in the first chapter of his second epistle. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Never forget the foreknowledge of God gives the most accurate insight into the future available to mankind. I'd like now to examine with you another biblical prophecy, this one recorded in Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. It reads, When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. For those of you who missed our last two talks, in our analysis of those things which the Scriptures say must shortly come to pass, we're presently examining the prophetic vision Christ gave the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, which John then recorded in the book of the Revelation under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're dealing specifically with the first eight verses of Revelation 6, which portrays what are commonly called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. These four horsemen portray symbolically four future events which will profoundly affect all inhabitants of the earth. Thus far, we've dealt with two of these. The first, the rider on the white horse, described in verses 1 and 2. which portrays symbolically the future Antichrist, who will deceive humanity into believing that he is the super leader the world is seeking to resolve its problems. He will usurp the role God intended should be Christ's as the savior of mankind. He will emerge on the world scene shortly after Christ removes his church and the Holy Spirit from this earth. He will be the ultimate product of the secular humanism that is permeating every facet of society today. Then we looked at verses 3 and 4, which describe a second rider, this time one mounted on a red horse with a great sword in his hand. His mission, verse 4 says, will be to take peace from the earth. People and governments and nations who have rejected the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, who maketh wars to cease, will discover too late the futility of human efforts alone to resolve the age-old problem of wars and conflicts between individuals and nations. They will have been deluded into believing that the super leadership of the Antichrist and the world government he will have persuaded them to support will bring an end to wars and the threat of nuclear annihilation. Too late, they will discover that his real intention was to use the unprecedented power vested in him to force his tyrannical will on all peoples and nations, and war and violence and turmoil will again shatter the peace, as the rider on the red horse with the great sword in his hand enforces the Antichrist orders, and people and nations resist. Now let's turn our attention to the third horseman, whom John describes in Revelation 6, 5, and 6, in these words. I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. The symbolic language here used indicates that the rider on the black horse portrays a situation having to do with trade and commerce. He holds in his hand a pair of balances, an instrument used to weigh commodities sold in the marketplace. Several are specifically mentioned: wheat, barley, oil, and wine. The description indicates these commodities are being meted out by weight and by measure. A measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and be careful how you dispense the oil and the wine. The language is that used when consumer goods are in short supply and rationing has been imposed. The idea of scarcity is further emphasized by two things. First, the price. A measure of wheat for a penny. In Bible times, a penny was a day's pay for a working man. You remember Christ's parable of the husbandman who went out to hire laborers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a penny a day. In the labor market today, a tradesman normally earns $8 to $12 an hour, or an average of, say, around $60 to $80 a day. For a day's pay, say $75, the rider on the black horse would ration out to him a measure of wheat or three measures of barley. The common measure in biblical times was a chenix, which was equal to about a quart. A day's wages for a quart of wheat. If you think prices are atrocious today, how would you like to pay a whole day's wages for a quart of wheat or three quarts of barley? The second indication that this passage is speaking of extreme scarcity and prohibitive prices in the marketplace is the color of the horse on which the rider is mounted. It is black, the symbol of mourning. It speaks of death. In this case, death attributable to extreme scarcity of basic commodities due to rigid market controls and prices so high it will be impossible for people to buy enough to sustain life. Now remember, this will happen under the Antichrist world government, when people will be required to give their allegiance to him and receive an identification mark before they will be permitted to buy or sell. Revelation 13, 16 to 17 says, "He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast," that is the Antichrist, "or the number of his name." In that day, the words Christ taught people to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," will take on a new meaning. Both the prophetic scriptures and the trends developing today indicate the major causes of the future economic conditions symbolized by the rider on the black horse with a pair of balances in his hand. In the first place, there's the pyramiding growth of the world's population. By the end of this century, this earth will have to sustain over 6 billion people, with millions more being added each month. Even now, nearly half of the world's population goes to bed hungry every night. Secondly, the world's natural resources, many of them irreplaceable, are being steadily diminished. This is not due only to growing consumer demand, but to man's neglect and abuse of the earth's physical resources, which is impairing and in some cases destroying nature's capacity to reproduce. Water pollution is turning hundreds of rivers and lakes into lifeless bodies of polluted water, many of them already beyond recovery. Air and soil pollution is decreasing the productive capacity of forests and fields. Soil mismanagement is turning millions of acres into unproductive wasteland, no longer capable of producing crops or sustaining wild or domestic animal life. This is one of the factors contributing to the drought and famine claiming thousands of lives in Ethiopia and other regions of Africa, where overgrazed lands and denuded forests has turned vast areas into desert wastes. Man has proven a poor custodian of this earth's natural resources, and future generations will pay an even higher price than we already are paying today. Three, the prophetic scriptures indicate that in the days when the Antichrist dominates this earth, its productive capacity will be affected by strange, unprecedented phenomena in nature. You remember Christ in his great prophetic sermon recorded in Matthew 24 said of that future time, "The sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." And again in Luke 21, verse 11, he said, "Great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven." Revelation 6 and 12 speaks of the sun becoming black as sackcloth of hair. And Revelation 8 and 12 says that the third part of the sun was smitten, and the day shone not for a third part of it. You can imagine the impact of such phenomena on the earth's temperature, on overall climate, and on its vegetation. In recent years, we've witnessed some strange and abnormal weather patterns and climatic abnormalities. Could these be the first foreshadows of far more drastic phenomena in the days ahead? Finally, the Antichrist's successful drive to establish a totalitarian world government with rigid controls over all facets of the economy will mean an end to the competitive free enterprise system, which has proven by far the most effective mechanism to maximize production. Once the Antichrist imposes rigid state control over the world economy, production will decline. And the famine and food rationing symbolized by the rider on the black horse will shortly come to pass. But let me close this talk with some good news. I'm grateful to God that you can avoid these predicted future world problems and calamities. They're conditions that will not come to a head until after Christ appears and takes his church out of this world, before the Antichrist comes on the scene. If you will, you can be among the millions who will be taken out of this world at Christ's appearing for his church. My friend, God loves you. He knows all about the problems in your life. Whether you realize it or not, your greatest problem is not your social or economic or financial difficulties, but the problem of sin. Sin is what has alienated you and everyone else from God. And that alienation is the root cause of all the problems you face and the world faces today. It was to solve that problem that Christ came into this world and died as a substitute sin bearer in your place. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. When he died in your place on the cross, he died for you and for your sins. Do you believe that? Do you believe what Christ says to you in the scriptures? He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Won't you take him at his word and believe him when he says he loves you and he died for you? And if you will receive him as your personal Savior, he will forgive your sins and give you the gift of eternal life, and you shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck you out of his hand. Open your life to him, and he will keep you safe until the hour of his appearing, when he will take you home to be with him in glory before the predicted future troubles come on this weary old world. My friend, give your heart and life to Jesus Christ today.
We at Mission Go Pray, this message will change your life and challenge you to seek a deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take the time to read a couple of verses from the Bible in the book of Matthew 11, 28 to 29. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy with burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." This month we would like to make available a booklet about the man on the middle cross, written by Alistair Begg. The booklet introduces three people who had their lives changed when they met Jesus. Each was given hope, restoration, and a way back to God: the woman at the well, the paralyzed man, and the thief on the cross. With characteristic clarity, Alistair Begg explains how this offer is open to all who come to Jesus, the man on the middle cross. Alistair Begg is the Bible teacher at Truth for Life, a worldwide radio and digital ministry. He served as senior pastor at Parkside Church in Cleveland, Ohio for over 40 years. To order this booklet, write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Post Office Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, zip code L2R7A7, or in the United States, write to Post Office Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.